Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Holy, holy, hallelujah. Speaking of Mormon fraudsters.
Oh, God.
Wow.
The gods
gave us.
Blessed us with
cornucopia.
Even more fraud content. This weekend / last week / I don't even know when this docuseries came out.
Joseph Smith blessed us with
the misunderstood Joseph Smith.
The prophet Joseph Smith blessed us all with another entry into the Mormon scammer
wheelhouse.
With the LuLaRoe in
the form of Lula Rich, the LuLaRoe. Amazon original, true dark horse move from Amazon, but
yeah,
I'm here for it.
It was a good one.
This ranks Amazon in my hierarchy of streamers. It's getting up there. It's in a good place for me. I like Amazon. I'm like an Amazon.
It's Lula Rich. It's about the rise and not fall. Just plateau.
Speed bump. Yeah.
Of LuLaRoe, which is a notorious MLM, women's social retail company, where they sell like truly the ugliest clothes
I've ever seen. I've never known such hideousness and horror and just like poor quality vibes.
Oh my God. And as we know now, the former employer of Mary Brown from Sister Wives.
She was a LuLaRoe girl?
There's this whole season where she's selling LuLaRoe, and she's like, she literally is she's trying to buy something and no one wants to support her, and she goes, well, I gotta go sell. And she runs back to her house and is just selling leggings.
That's so classically Mary.
Wearing all like the sweater coats.
No.
Anyway.
That makes, Mary's too sad.
She's the prime, but she's the target of these people.
No, she's exactly.
Facebook,
if you're
moms.
A white Facebook mom
who's
with truly nothing to live for except your children and your husband.
Mm-hmm. And your maybe Christian.
And your Facebook groups that you're a part of.
And you're like Christian adjacent / like veering into.
You're like a traditionalist when it comes to like family. You're primed. Also, are you colorblind? Like, I just don't understand like how people looked at these clothes and said and ever said,
jackpot.
Wow, these are so fucking cute. I must have every single bit. Like, they look like...
They were
like,
the ugliest... I'm sorry. I know some people... I'm sure there's, like, one or two things that you could be like, okay, I could see. But I saw them and it
literally...
I didn't
see one thing. It's like pink, blue, and everything's pink, blue, and yellow all together.
It's like a Vera Bradley wristlet.
Vera Bradley's cuter, sorry.
No, I'm saying, but it's like a bad Vera Bradley wristlet as leggings.
That's even like a generous description of what it is.
Yeah.
It literally looks like...
Book sock.
It's like...
textbook sock.
It looks like preschool decorations. Like... Yeah. That someone got from like the dollar store or something.
It's also, so it was founded by this married couple who are both like staunch Mormons who live in Orange County, of course. And they're like the whitest people you'll ever see. Saints, like the most Mormon people you'll ever see.
My truth is that I'm obsessed with Dina.
Deanne,
that's what I meant.
And they have like 13 children between them, and they all the children, it was like Succession, but like
they
Mormon
Brady
succession.
Bunched their families when they met and then had and adopted more children.
They had a few of their own and then adopted like four kids.
And then some of their kids married each other.
Yeah, two of their children married each other.
Yeah.
And
which is like Clueless vibes.
Chill.
Yeah. Deanne, my queen.
So they, you know, Deanne grew up with like a mom who was sort of an entrepreneur back in the day and was like maybe ahead of her time a little, but she was like always, she describes this one moment where like she gathered all her children at the bottom of her staircase and then threw money down at them, showered them in dollar bills because she wanted them to know what it was like to like
have abundance and wealth.
Yeah. So that stayed with Deanne. So she started selling leggings that she was making herself out of her car.
Maxi. Well, she started buying like children's clothes.
Yeah.
From like, it was unclear as like, is she buying like knockoffs or is this just like overflow? But she was selling,
both.
She was selling like reselling children's clothes. And then she made some maxi skirts at home and started selling those. And truly, there's nothing worse than a maxi skirt.
But the way these women were talking about maxi skirts was like, they were like, it was so, I put it on and I felt so light and like free. And then she went into leggings and they described the material as if it was like
buttery soft.
Divine.
Like, yeah.
The women were in these retailers. They're all women. So you can just say the women. They describe it as if it's like almost supernatural. Like, it's, like, revered.
What spell, though? I'm like, it's just such an interesting slice of women that are attracted to that. Because I've seen that pop up on Facebook every once in a while.
Yeah.
Or, like, either I feel like people would talk about it in other Facebook groups, like, laugh about LuLaRoe heads. And then, like, I just always was like, but this is so ugly. Like, why? I don't get it. Like...
Yeah, so it's basically just a classic pyramid scheme. So Deanne and her husband are obviously making like 90% of the income, but it goes like you have top retailers who are like the aspiration for all these quote unquote social retailers, and then they recruit dozens of women below them who recruit other women. So it's like you're just getting...
You recruit people, and then in order to sell LuLaRoe, you have to buy like $5,000 of inventory and then you sell that, and then you're quote unquote like operating your own business out of your home. But then the way that everyone made money is like recruiting people and then getting kickbacks from like them buying inventory, and then it grew and grew and grew and became like a huge craze with these like the conventions.
Oh, they had Katy Perry at one of them. They paid
and Kelly Clarkson.
When I saw Katy Perry,
I was like, of course. Her style, her color scheme has always been LuLaRoe at heart.
Also her shoes, her collection. Have you ever seen Katy Perry's shoe company Twitter?
No, I didn't even know she had a shoe company.
She makes like, she has Katy Perry shoes. And it's like, it's LuLaRoe as heels.
her vibe is like straight LuLaRoe.
But they spent $5 million to get her to come to this convention.
Well, they were printing money. They had like at one point 75 or 80,000 women in the US selling LuLaRoe.
They're like a $1 billion company.
Yeah. But so they grew like really, really fast and would throw all these like conventions and like
cruises.
Honestly, kill me on a LuLaRoe cruise.
But that one woman who's, she was like the one of the only like black women that was involved in the, like it was all like white women. And she
like
she
one goes, of like five black women that she got was, and she into was the so, LuLaRoe craze.
Because there's, there, they interview women that used to be retailers, and then one of the women who's still a retailer, which I was like, but this woman, she was like, I don't know, I was really into this business, but the idea of being on a cruise with like only white people at sea,
she couldn't do it.
She said I had to take a pass.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her. Cruises, there is a 80% chance you're going to die on a cruise.
Definitely.
Like either be murdered.
Or just like an accident, fall overboard. Like there's so many variables on a cruise. Yeah. Like it's a no for me.
Stomach virus, poop.
You could Titanic.
So just don't go on a cruise. Strep.
Strep. I've been there.
COVID.
People have been there.
Yeah, but
you can just get moored at sea.
Just get,
and then you just are stuck on a cruise ship for days and days,
sleeping in tents on the deck,
eating onions like apples.
Is that what people were doing?
Yeah, I think people were like fighting over onions to eat because they were so hungry.
Where's that?
I need that movie or a limited series. Amazon.
But so they, for like the last, for the 2010s, they were just like dominating the MLM. You know, and then they would have training sessions where they would train top retailers on like how to promote this company with people thinking it's a pyramid scheme, like how to work around that.
Yeah. And like tell them how, because these women, I guess, like that got in really early and then recruited people were making, could make like up to 6 figures a month in like bonuses from all their like recruitments.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. I'm like, well, I wish I had LuLaRoe.
I know. And they bought houses. They had cars. Like these women who like were struggling. But then you find out they were trying to instill Mormon values in the leggings, like in the company, the like skeleton of the company's manifesto. The mission of LuLaRoe was to...
Are just like very trad family values of like...
Retiring husbands early. That was like the
retire
goal.
Retire husband early.
To pamper your husbands.
Pamper your husband. The husbands, everyone at the top really made out well in LuLaRoe. And they also would tell like the women to spend a lot of money on your hair and nails. And like you need to really look good. And anytime that you can mention something like great about your life on social media, you also need to follow it up with the hashtag because of LuLaRoe.
And they were encouraging women who had some weight issues to get gastric sleeves
in Tijuana.
They were,
that's
they
also were, a no for me.
The bot Deanne, who had gotten one, she was on a text thread with like 30 women being like, we're driving down tomorrow, like, because they're right on the border near San Diego, so they're like, we're driving down tomorrow. Anyone wants to come meet us here and we'll all drive together and you can just get a sleeve, because she wanted everyone to be thin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pressuring some of the women. And there was one woman that like almost did it and then was like, I can't do this.
Well,
and then,
she ended up getting a balloon put in her stomach, which I didn't even know that you could do. But that also feels like not something cool to do. And then it like exploded or something went wrong. And she was like, there's no way I'm doing this other thing.
And then they stopped talking to her.
But I've loved to be on the LuLaRoe skinnies text chain.
Oh yeah, they called it the skinnies. Her and her sister, her twin, were driving down.
Deanne was like literally human trafficking people across the Mexican border to get
sleeves.
Like gastric bypass surgery. Why not? Is it that much cheaper in Tijuana?
Probably.
That just seems like wildly.
I think you can get, like anything, and you can find anything.
I know that there's like dentistry that you can get. Yeah. Like a lot of people will go. Yeah. But then like fill your prescriptions or whatever.
Haven't you ever seen Cake?
I have seen Cake, yes.
Remember when she goes over the border to get her
classic
Cake?
Jen Aniston. What a role. But I feel like while I would trust I'm more willing to trust like a dentist than like a fully invasive.
I don't want anyone poking my.
Like these women probably have sponges sewn back into them.
But yeah, some of these, and then a lot of these women like went into debt and bankruptcy. Had a lot of them had to declare bankruptcy. Some of them lost their homes. A good number of them, their husbands left them.
Yeah, it like destroyed their lives.
Destroyed their marriages, their families. They all of them, like one woman said she can only eat cheese plates at night because she can't afford. She went from making like six figures a month to like only eat, being able to eat like cheese cubes.
Yeah.
And it's still happening. Big.
Well, I guess also they expanded so rapidly and were like creating so much of their shitty clothing that they didn't even have the warehouse space to house all the product. So they were keeping it outside in like big cages where it was exposed to the weather. Then all these leggings got like moldy and stinky, and they were shipping these like stinky fart leggings out to people. Imagine paying $5,000 for anything
from LuLaRoe.
Yeah. And then imagine paying $5,000 for a big box of LuLaRoe. Then imagine that paying $5,000 for a big box of farty leggings that rip as soon as you put your finger through them.
And they said the smell, like they had to like get their house like fumigated, basically.
Like it lingered in the home for days and days. It's like the stinky rat and Sideways Stories from Wayside School.
Yeah, it's like
my king.
But it's,
and then they wouldn't give them like new product. That's the craziest thing to me, is like the money, the amount of like money grubbing that you truly have to be to charge people that much money for your really shitty quality product, right, then not even be willing to like replace it. Like,
what the fuck?
And blame them or say, you need to figure this out. Like, this is an opportunity for you. Yeah, like,
be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. That is dark-sided.
Well, yeah. And
I'm like, start your fucking pyramid scheme, do whatever, but at least make sure the product is good.
And then they started, all their designers, they like basically encouraged them to rip off designs from like Google Image, but do one or two alterations to like technically make it like different. But it was all like plagiarized images because they were running out of things to print on leggings.
They told these designers they had to turn in 100 new designs a day.
Yeah.
So how do you even like,
no. And then they started printing the designs where like there'd be like a B on the like where the vagina is, like where the crotch of the pant is, and then like pineapples and bananas, and like it looked like like you're walking around with a dick on your
leggings. We're just like your vulva exposed.
Yeah, your vulva was like there was like a sandwich.
A hamburger.
Yeah.
It's just your vulva. I think it also is like a company. It's a pyramid scheme first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, that's technically illegal first in the United foremost. States, but there are ways to work around it where if you're like exchanging goods in return for payment, then I guess technically it's like not a pyramid scheme, even though it is. But their company like exploded and like scaled. They didn't know how to scale quickly enough. And then I think they were probably just like fucking psyched to be making billions of dollars in revenue.
So they were like, oh, a few milky leggings.
Not our problem. There and was if like- it's only like 2,000 of the 80,000 people that are buying them, then I guess like it's also NBD. Like,
how many people were buying LuLaRoe around America?
If there were 75,000 women selling, probably like
millions.
A million, probably like a million people. I've never known like a LuLaRoe wearer, to my knowledge.
And this isn't a judgment.
I've never had like been to a LuLaRoe party, obviously. But like, also, we live in Los Angeles. Like, I don't think LuLaRoe is like the big thing here.
No, it's for like, it's, you know, it's definitely like middle America, like
Or just people, I think it's just people living like a very different lifestyle.
Yeah, it's more, not like, even middle, you're gay, middle America. So
like
yeah.
There are no real gays in LuLaRoe.
Well, that one guy.
The like guy that ended up fraudulently investing in marijuana.
No, the guy who at the end was like planning his.
Was he gay?
I think so. I mean,
TBD, everyone seemed like closeted.
I think it's like Mormon closeted vibes.
Yeah.
But no, but it's not even a middle. It's just people who are like have families and like are living a suburban, like more traditional.
It's white married people with living. Children, which I just don't know that many of because of where we're living and what our lifestyles are.
But yeah, if you or someone you know has bought LuLaRoe or been to a LuLaRoe party, please tell us what it was like. No judgment. As we know, I interviewed for an MLM.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Vicky Gumbelson runs a probable MLM.
What's
alleged
her MLM?
Coto Insurance. I mean, I don't know if it is. I should take that back. Alleged.
It probably is.
But it just has, it has everything. But yeah, and she had like Tammy Faye Baker vibes.
Mm-hmm. She's my queen, just
she's iconic.
Insofar as like her glam is really good for her.
Unapologetic.
Unapologetic glam.
They're a little
Valentino rock stud, kitten heel, gladiator sandal. The lies are incredible and the spin of the truth and their deposition footage where she just, as the president of a company, knows nothing about it.
She goes, I don't recall.
I don't know.
Her kids all go, her children are all like raking in the dough too.
Yeah. Well, the best way to like keep the wealth is to employ your entire family and then like have every one of them create like shell companies.
Her nephew got involved.
He was like the hype guy or the events guy. He was a real tragic figure.
Gay.
Gay, closeted.
Closeted gay.
But then also, everyone, I guess, is just really prone to scams. Because then later when he got fired from the company, he reached out to another LuLaRoe, like, high-up retailer and was like, looking for $30,000 to $90,000 to invest in this cannabis company. And she goes, okay, like, is there a contract or what do we sign? Like, how does it work? And he goes, no contracts. Just give me the $30,000 and then you'll have, like, a 20% return. And then it turned out that he had just been scammed. Like, he invested in a cannabis company that didn't even exist.
And then the husband, the patriarch of LuLaRoe,
Mike
was in this like weird car club.
Yeah, just like rich guys loving their weird cars.
Yeah, but it was like a pot, and there was like a documentary that followed them around as they like went around Southern California in these like hideous,
they're really
racing
ugly
cars. It's so weird. But it's kind of like the gifting tables of, like, it's just that like girl, and they talk a lot about like the girl boss language they use and like trying like this kind of faux feminism and, you know, we're empowered women, but like you're also teaching, you're promoting being subservient to your husbands. And some of the women said they'd be at these conventions and all of a sudden they're like quoting the Book of Mormon to them and they're all like sitting and one of them was like, wait, I didn't sign up for this. It's like, can you imagine?
I can't imagine being so deep into something. Actually, I guess I have actually been very deep into something and then realized how bad it was. But that was teenage years. That's not like my experience. Actually, maybe that is, I've also had that experience as an adult. Fuck.
Listen,
In an alternate timeline, I could have fully LuLaRoe'd. Like, had I stayed in Oklahoma, gotten married, had kids really young, and then just like wanted an opportunity to make money.
Been closeted.
I feel like I could have really, if I had gotten in early, I could have raked it in.
Lara Marie Shane Hall is a closeted bisexual woman of five children.
With
a husband who works in like
oil.
Oil.
Yeah.
And you're doing LuLaRoe.
Oil and energy.
And you're
gas
going to conventions.
And energy husband. And I'm like high on the LuLaRoe totem pole. I'm pulling in about 60,000 to 80,000 a month in bonus checks.
Would you have kept your accent?
Yeah. I'm sure. I don't
60,000 to 80,000 in bonus checks.
A month. I cashed one this month. It was 60,000.
I'm pulling in like, you know, 70K on a good month. Probably 50K in a bad month.
My favorite too is how that was the business model starting out. Then yeah. they were like, damn, the feds are going to be on our tails if we're a pyramid scheme. So then they told everyone, we're changing it. You're not going to get checks for your bonus income. Instead, we're going to base your bonus checks on how many sales are happening with all the ladies under. And they were like, it slashed our checks basically in half, like down to nothing, because none of the revenue is generated from sales of these hideously shitty products. It's all just recruitment.
And sometimes they would only sell like 2 leggings a day. Mm-hmm. So they'd make
They're hauling literally like pounds, tons of these like disgusting clothes all around, sweating and setting it up and putting in hangers and folding to sell like $40 worth of leggings.
Meanwhile, they have garages full of inventory that they can't sell that smells like fart.
Or they just have garage full of inventory that no one wants that they can't return. Because then LuLaRoe said, like, at one point they were like, okay, well, if you want to get out, you can now. And we will accept any returns of, like, unused merchandise. And this has no expiration date. Like, feel free to return. And then, like, 20,000 people were like, take it back, please. Get me out of this situation. And then, like, as soon as they said you could return, they were like, JK, you can't return anymore. Which is also crazy. Like, you have to understand that that's illegal as a company owner.
But some of these, I would have just lit it all on fire.
And then been in debt and lost their house?
Well, these women that are out of LuLaRoe and are former retailers, they still have it just sitting in their house.
Yeah, like, but I think they're hoping that this lawsuit gets settled.
Oh, right. I would have just been
your
like,
house is like in foreclosure. You haven't paid your mortgage in 3 months, and you're like, well, I'm just gonna light it all on fire. You pour gasoline over it, and you're like, take that, LuLaRoe.
Take that, Deanne. I'll be like this. Anyway, guys, watch it. It is a very good segue into our salty Utah queens.
Yeah.
Guys, we're back.
We're fully back.
We're back in Utah, where we're going next week. And if you're listening and you live in the Utah area or like anywhere near Salt Lake City, buy a ticket.
You better buy a ticket You better come, because you know what?
We need them.
Ain't no one buying tickets for the old Utah.
Hey, guys, we need to be very candid.
I'm
going to
be very, very clear with you right now. And I don't want to pull the wool over your eyes.
No, we are.
I'm
going to
give you a rundown of how things are looking
for Salt Lake.
Right. Just across the board.
Yeah.
LA, selling amazing, low ticket warning. Salt Lake, 34 tickets sold. Chicago, first night sold out. Second night well on its way.
Everywhere else is selling great.
Philly, Boston, New York, low ticket warnings, selling fucking fantastic.
Salt Lake.
I'm learning a hard lesson. Guess what? Not everyone everywhere is going to be excited for you to come to their town.
And that's okay, because we want to enjoy Salt Lake. We're ready to go to the Metric Music Hall. I got a text from someone that was performing there last week who saw our poster outside of it. It looked beautiful.
Yeah, it looked gorgeous.
It's going to be fun, guys. We're holding out for some good guests.
We're going to have fun.
We're going to have a good fucking time.
No matter what happens. And whoever's coming, you're going to get the show of the century.
We're going to be out and about in Salt Lake City. We're going to be pounding the pavement. We're going to be at the gay bars.
Truly, this episode made me so excited to be in Salt Lake City. I was like, and honestly, do whatever you want, people. Buy the tickets, don't buy the tickets. It is what it is. I mean, buy them if you're listening.
Laura and I are going to be out. So, like, if you want
I'm
to
trying
see
to
us,
make reservations. I'm trying to go to Valters or Asteria. Toscana. Yeah. Like, once I hit the ground running in Salt Lake City, it's over for these hoes.
So, be there or be square, guys. And we're here, we're queer, and we're ready to rock the valley. We're ready to rock the promised land.
This is truly, a Carrie Bradshaw, The Learning Annex, Night 2 situation.
But you know what? We're going to roll with it. It's going to be fun. But if you're
it's going to be an intimate, beautiful affair.
You guys...
But I just want to be very clear about the trials and tribulations of going on tour. You may start out with a really popular podcast thinking that everyone in your country is excited about your podcast as you are, only to find out that some cities aren't so excited.
And that's okay.
And that's totally fine.
We're excited for you, Salt Lake.
They just don't know.
They just don't know.
So it'll be their loss.
But I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique
Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. Wow.
This opens with the iconic
opening that everyone, I'm sure, has seen already.
Yeah, surveillance in the limo. Jen Shaw fleeing the scene.
Outside Beauty Lab.
The feds and police descending.
Yeah.
And Jen going on the run.
Lisa going, why are all the police here? What's going on?
She's so cute.
She's so cute.
Whitney, oh my gosh. Jen Shaw charged with money laundering scheme. Jen and Stu have both been charged.
She goes, fraud.
Fraud.
I have chills. You earlier when I was describing a movie.
Yes, Carrie told me that a true shocking news.
The movie Malignant on HBO Max is fucking incredible and everyone should watch it. It's a like benchmark in modern horror.
I had absolutely no idea. If you had asked me if that movie would be incredible or not, I would have said absolutely not.
Same.
But I'm glad to hear it.
You have
and
no
I'm
going
to watch it tonight.
Watch it now.
This is a Malignant podcast.
Malignant. James Wan, the director.
Malignant.
He did Insidious, The Conjuring,
which
Saw.
Some of those have like slapped, some not so much. So
but get with
I'm
it.
Glad that he's back. It's, Wan Squad, we gather.
I'm living in a post.
We gather, we won.
I'm living in a post Malignant America.
Where were you when you first saw Malignant? Is the
question
on everyone's lips. The question on everyone's lips.
And I had to pee a lot while I was watching it because I drank a lot of water.
Were you constantly turning it off and going to pee?
Yeah.
Love. Oh my God, Carrie.
What?
Did you hear what I'm doing this fall?
No.
I'm taking Sexy Unique Podcast on tour.
Wait a minute. I'm doing that too.
I know.
We're going on tour.
We're going on fucking tour. Tickets are going fast. In fact, one of the Chicago shows sold the fuck out.
You're kidding me.
Well, we added a second.
Oh, God.
Head to LarsMarie.com to purchase tickets.
That's LarsMarie.com to get yours now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long-haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Real motherfucking Housewives of Salt motherfucking Lake City
is back. I really believe when Mary says she'll send Jesus to you.
She will.
Yeah.
I have a whole new outlook on Mary.
Podcasting queen.
Fellow podcaster. She knows the hustle.
She's in the podcast life.
But where I stand on Mary is that she can do whatever she wants. And if you're part of, like, you know enough now that if you're part of this and you feel weird, you should get out. But if you're in her cult willingly and you're still going down this road, then that's your choice. And that's it. And I'm here to support whatever her endeavors are, here for it.
I don't support her being a cult leader if that's what's going on, but I love watching her.
Yeah. I mean, if you're
at this point,
there's just so much information
it's
out
like Scientology.
There that you just have to, you're making a choice to stay. You know, you have all the information you need, and now this
but
is your choice.
But some people might not have a choice.
I think you always have a choice. There's always a choice. It may not be a fun choice to make, but there's always a choice.
Did Mary have a choice in marrying?
Mary never had a choice because she is BFF with Jesus, and that's her purpose in this world. She did have a choice. She could have said no, but then she'd be walking away from her Jesus.
I'm just glad that they're giving us what we need, is Mary filming with everyone, not just alone in her like giant closet.
Yeah, work her into the mix. I think she's also probably great to be around.
Oh, she's fun.
She also has, for as delusional as she is sometimes, she has real moments of lucidity and good reads.
Oh yeah, she has good calls.
We smash cut to 2 months earlier.
Jen's cutting up vegetables in her new Shaw Chalet with her assistant, who looks like Pete Doherty.
Pete Doherty?
Yeah.
From Baby Shambles?
Yeah. He looked like one of those, like, electroclash, like, hipster people from the 2000s.
Love that. Like, Merlot.
There's these beautiful overhead shots of her cutting.
Mm-hmm. She's in a whole new Shaw Chalet.
The lease was up on Shaw Chalet 1.0.
Yeah, so she's in 2.0. It actually is, everyone's houses have been upgraded.
Totally.
And they're doing amazing. Lisa arrives and Jen gives her the grand tour of the house. And everywhere she goes and whatever she shows Lisa, Lisa just goes, I love this. I love this. I love this.
They're like super chummy now.
They're besties.
Yeah.
Which I feel like Lisa's going to deeply regret in about 2 months.
I think so.
But I'm also here for her just being a good friend.
Mm-hmm. I'm dubious of... We'll get into it. So Jen and her sit down and they have some...
She shows her also her closet.
Oh, her closet,
which is
insane.
If you didn't have enough like secondhand embarrassment from the Erica Jane closet shots, this closet shot that lingers for at least like 2 full minutes on all of the clothes that Jen owns, which are essentially stolen goods.
Yeah, the feds are like
from defrauding elderly people on the phone.
The feds watching this probably freeze every second because to mark down what inventory they were gonna monitor. And
she has so many clothes that it seems impossible to wear all those clothes
in those bags, all kept in big plastic, vacuum sealed.
I'm also wonder if maybe she borrows all of these clothes and then makes it look like it's in her closet, or if it's really just like she's getting styled for shoot days, so she just moves it all in and pretends that it's like hers.
I think it's
LuLaRoe inventory status.
It is. Then they sit down and Jen drinks this like lavender looking concoction that looked really good. And then Jen reveals that she and Sharif almost got a divorce during COVID.
I don't blame them. Jen is toxic.
I don't blame Sharif.
No, me neither. I'm like, you should have gotten divorced, because now look what's happening.
Well, Jen basically reveals that Sharif was assuming that the reason why Jen was just going full Hulk all the time on everyone, including him most of all, was because he was toxic for her. It's because she gaslit him so much, I think, that he was like, I should leave you. Which also sounds like he was just like, I want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's okay, babe, to just say, I've had enough of this marriage.
And then the next day, a divorce attorney called her, and he'd already filed the paperwork. So he was like, ready to get the fuck out. And somehow, she pulled him back in.
Can you imagine your partner riding your dick so fucking hard for months, nay, years?
Nay.
And then you come to find out that their entire job is illegal.
Okay, but this is going to be another, like, almost like an Erica Jane comparison. Like, what
did he know?
What did he know? What didn't he know? Like, again, he was married to her for 25 years. Like, what? He's also, and I could see because he's, like, away so much with his job, but, like, I don't know.
Well, here's the...
Do you think maybe that's why he was going to leave her? Because they knew something was coming?
It could have been.
I think...
The thing with both her and Tom's jobs is like, if you're the partner, you probably don't know the ins and outs of every business move that they make, especially if he's pulling in his own six-figure income every year. It's like, oh, Jen runs her marketing firm and she does all this. Like, he's a coach. Like, their jobs could not be more different than each other. So TBD, and where it's different also is like, I mean, this all remains to be seen. But from what we know right now, it's not like she's giving him money to like do his job or pursue his passions.
Yeah, but it's like the money that's being used to pay for their kids' lives and like send their kids to school. And
yeah. I mean, it's joint income being used to pay for leases on a house or whatever, but it also looks like Jen spends a lot on herself personally.
Oh, yeah. She's employing 12 people.
She has all these employees. She buys crazy amounts of clothes, like has plastic surgery.
But they're renting their homes.
So yeah, but renting a home is like also really expensive.
Especially in that area.
Yeah. So like, who's to say how much of her, and if he's away most of the time, it's like, does he really care that much, like where their house is or what? Like,
Jen's also, I think she's, it sounds like she's been really doing, she's doing like a major PR makeover already. She's talking about how she's
a truly fruitless
PR makeover. I mean, she's, it's so like, you can see the rage brimming beneath her eyes at all times, but she's kind of gone Zen Jen a little, and she's like, yeah, you know, I really just like, I see the error of my ways. I see how toxic I was. But it sounds very insincere.
She looks unwell.
She looks completely unwell. And she also, I really believe that they knew something was happening. I think she, I feel like she knew that the feds were like tapping her.
Mm-hmm.
So I
or
think
just something was percolating.
I think she was already doing a preemptive media coach moment.
It's just gorgeous how fruitless it all is. Like, because you, and I think it's a really good device to show like the day of arrest and then 2 months earlier, because then you get the pleasure of just watching this person try and like weave their web of like manipulation only to know exactly where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
And you so know, it's, I love
it was
that.
Genius.
Love that for us. Hate that for Jen.
Hate it for Lisa.
Hate it for my queen Lisa. I don't like to see her name be dragged through the mud.
Well, Lisa reveals that she's sort of been in the middle of Meredith and Jen, who have their beef has escalated because Lisa, it's hard. I want to be a friend to Meredith, but I also want to be a friend to Jen.
I feel like I need to broker the peace.
I need to broker the peace between you all.
Did you notice that the ladies are holding floating CGI snowflakes?
Yeah.
That was very strange.
Can you just build one?
Didn't they just hold something last year?
I think so.
I love just a holding of a prop as opposed to Uncanny Valley CGI.
Maybe it was like
COVID, you can't touch anything.
So we go to Meredith's new home, which is so much better.
Thank God she moved out of her haunted mansion.
It's a new home, a new lease. The Marks family, the sun is shining on them again. Meredith and Seth are back together.
Teddy, the dog, is still possessed, though. I believe he is possessed by a poltergeist, but I have faith that they'll work it out eventually.
Meredith's outfit was amazing.
Meredith looks flawless in every scene.
Silk. She gives her dog like a Christian Cowan,
like feather outfit.
Yeah. And Meredith is just like, just looks happy. She just looks flawless.
Yeah.
Everything about her.
The face, like, I want
Meredith's face.
I
want
to know what she's getting done because she looks still her age, but
amazing.
Just like incredible. Like so hot. Heather arrives. Did she just ski over?
Yeah.
Did she cross country?
I think so.
Or does she like live on the hill at higher elevation?
No, she lives down in.
About the mechanics of her skiing over to.
Well, Meredith lives up in the mountain. Meredith lives in Park Slope. Or Park, not Park Slope, Park City. So that's like the ski resort area. So I think Heather was like day skiing and just decided to jaunt over to the Marks chalet.
So can you just like hop on the ski lift and then you ski right over to her house?
I think it's one of those, it's like Aspen, like those just
like
chic,
ski in, ski out.
Chic homes on the mountainside where like you can just ski out of your house.
I need more ski facts. And I'm obsessed with Heather just, I imagine her skiing all over Utah.
Heather, yeah, she
does. If there's snow on the ground, Heather's skiing.
She's the pioneer blood in her, just.
She hits the road. But she won't take to the car. Mm-mm. She won't call an Uber.
She'll deal a pass.
She's going to strap on her skis and it might take her 5 hours, but she'll get to you.
She's gearing up for her big trans-Siberia excursion,
mm-hmm.
where she's going to go from one end of Siberia to the other on ski.
I could see that for her.
She's going to follow the Trans-Siberian Railroad. You
Please.
Know that?
Wait, she literally is?
No.
Oh.
Did I convince you?
Well, you kept going with it, and I was like, "Oh, she's doing that." I missed that part where she said that she trained for the Trans-Siberian Railroad.
I'm committing
ski challenge.
I'm committing to a bit that no one understands except me and Heather. So Heather comes in. She's like, windburns, fresh face,
goggles.
She goes, "Oh, I'm sweaty," and then Meredith goes, "Come on in," and they sit down.
Heather goes, "I need to après ski with you."
She goes, "Would you like some champagne?" She's like, "Yes, absolutely.
I'm ready to après ski with Heather.
I want to smoke a cig with Meredith."
Yeah, me too. I want to go stand out on her deck and smoke cigs, and looking at that river.
Just going, fuck.
Okay, my truth is that Seth is really hot.
Seth is so hot.
You can have John and I'll have Seth.
When him and John were out on the deck taking in the darkness, I wanted them to hold hands.
Me too. I imagined actually us out there with them smoking cigs, holding their hand.
Yeah.
Or just flirting and like,
yeah,
being like, Seth.
Absolutely. Seth and Meredith are so beautiful together, and they're
really hot together. I'm glad that they made it.
Yeah.
But if they ever D word Seth,
hit me up. So she explains that Seth is now spending like half his time in Utah and half in Ohio.
That sounds ideal.
Yeah. I think they just worked it out.
That's my ideal relationship. Be here, then go away. But then be here again. But then also go away.
So they're really, things are good. You know, they're not in the place they were last year.
They're doing good.
Heather's daughter is going off to college soon, I think in California. And Heather said everyone and her friends lives at home and goes to community college or goes to like BYU.
Yeah.
So she's venturing outside of Utah, which I think is cool.
It's cool. But I still am a little bit sus on Heather yearning for her daughter to be a whore.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, everyone said that I was the good time girl when I wasn't. So I'm ready for her to go and be the good time girl and no regrets. And I was like, that's still not, I think, the takeaway that you really want.
She's giving a little bit like my daughter is my best friend vibes where it's like, no, that's your daughter. It's your child.
Like, I'm like, go have fun, like live your dreams and your truth and have adventures and do whatever you feel comfortable with. But like, I don't need you to go be labeled a good time girl, which you know is just code for like a slut.
Yeah. Also, like, don't be careful.
Yeah.
In college.
Guys. I don't have a kid, so I don't know. But my first instinct with a daughter wouldn't be like, go out there in college as a freshman, be a good time girl.
Make a name for yourself.
I'm like, cover your drink up and don't get raped.
And walk home in groups.
Yeah. And call me and call 911 24/7. And don't go to frat houses. And maybe actually don't even drink in college.
No.
Just do some Molly, but also get it tested beforehand.
Yeah.
And also just do it with your girlfriends.
Or your gay friends.
Yeah. Don't speak to any straight men.
No.
Gays and girls only.
Gays and girls only.
And then when you graduate and then give it like 3 or 4 more years, and when you're 27, 28.
Have your first drink.
Yeah, have your first drink, but just one.
Just one.
And make sure that you see the bartender make it and hand it to you, and then it goes right into your mouth. And if you even set it down, throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
throw it back at the bartender's face.
Yeah.
Or make the bartender drink it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm
in front of you.
Don't ever.
Yeah, she's being a little like, I mean, I know what she's saying. She's trying to just give her daughters autonomy that she didn't have growing up. She's trying to give them a sense of independence and like.
It comes from a good place.
It comes from a good place of like claiming your femininity and like owning yourself as a, you know, owning your womanhood and like all the stuff that sounds like Heather didn't feel like she had growing up because of her faith. But you don't need to like encourage your daughter or your child in general to like.
You don't need to know Girls Gone Wild. Like, it's fine.
Woo!
Woo! Show off your tits. Be a good time girl. I'm a cool mom. Like,
be a good time girl.
Honey, I just want you to go be a good time girl, okay?
Want to take shots. Take shots. Invite your friends over.
I'm just like, it's messaging a gets a little muddled for me personally.
Then we go on over to Heather's cousin's house.
Teddy, Whitney. Wait, there's a shot of Teddy getting on the table.
Oh, yeah, he's like...
Full possession.
He's like this. He's Black Phillip.
He is Black Phillip.
He is.
They can get it out. They can get the demon out. They should have Mary give Teddy an exorcism.
And then transfer it to, like, a vase.
Yeah.
Or some kind of, like, and then...
And then they throw it in the river.
They throw it in the river. Whitney's stepsons come over. I didn't realize she has like three grown tall stepsons
who are about five,
maybe 5 years
like
younger,
3 to 5 years younger than her. Also, did she always have a massive rose tattoo? Yeah. Or is that new?
I think she did.
Okay. Whitney Rose. Classic Whitney Rose for you.
She's like in a bikini. They're getting ready for like a hot tub party with all her stepchildren and biological children.
It's one of her stepson's birthdays, so she's thrown on a skimpy bikini and is jiggling her mommy milkies for everyone to see.
Her jugs are out and they all come in and they all... It's like this very lingering minute 30 shot of all of her stepsons, like a clown car coming in to hug her.
It was pornographic. It was pre-porn, like where it's like mom fucks her three stepsons. Yeah. Like where they like come in and one by one and they're like, hey, like, yeah, what's going on? She said that sometimes they come over with their friends and she has gone to high school with their friends.
Yeah. And she's like, and she goes, oh, that's kind of weird.
But I think she likes it,
oh,
too.
Oh, she totally likes it.
It's a kink thing for her.
And I think her husband likes it.
Yeah, it's like a boss. It's a boss dad move. He's boss baby.
He is. He's big baby.
He's big boss baby with mommy's jugs.
Mommy's milk.
Stepmommy's jugs.
And then she does like one of those shot ski things that like Andy Cohen does. And
mm-hmm.
She and her three boys, her sons.
I'm sorry. This is like, I such a prude?
No, I think everyone watching probably, and if you didn't, you're a liar, that this was like a little like...
They're just like...
There's a vibe.
Someone with like a lot of stepmom experience, I'm just like... I think stepmoms truly, it's a hard position to be in, first of all. But like...
You're allowed to... You've had every kind of stepmom.
I would be a little bit... I guess it's just classic, like...
Classic Whitney.
It's classic stepmom with a huge rack behavior.
I would probably be... I would just be, like... If my step-parent attitude would be Anna Deavere Smith and Rachel getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of being, like... Letting them come to me if they need me, but letting them just do their... Not trying to, like, get in their space.
Yeah.
And just being, like, appropriate.
Appropriateness would be at the forefront of my mind. Like, I'm here to be really loving with you. And, like, I love your father or your mother. But I'm also not going to do shots of tequila with you.
Yeah. I don't know. God bless her. And then they're doing, like, a foam party in the back.
Yeah. She talks about... She has a beauty brand, apparently.
Oh, I... completely blacked this out.
Iris and Beau, and it's some sort of oils. This also sounded like an MLM to me. It sounded like the beginnings of an MLM.
She goes but I love my son seeing their mother
being an entrepreneur.
It's very important to me to set an example for them.
I'm like, honey, they're not paying attention to your beauty brand. They're paying attention to your ginormous rack. Then Whitney gets shit-faced.
Oh, she's a...
Yeah. I also am like... I think I'm triggered by like drunk stepmom energy.
She brings a giant cake in. She's with the candles lit for her one of the sons, who's... I forgot. And she just drops the cake.
Multiple times.
Not once, but twice.
And then drops it again when she brings it outside. She just brings a pile of...
Cream
and cake with it. I mean, I would have eaten it off the floor the first time. I didn't even judge about that. I was like, yeah, just slap that cake right back on there. It's fine. But then the second time when it fell top down, yeah, I was like, okay, this cake is done. It's torched. And then like, I mean, third time.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would have gotten down on my knees and eaten it off the floor.
I would have just grabbed it. like a handful, eating that really fast before anyone knew, and then put the cake back on and kind of like pat it over.
You would have been like Sarah Winchester in Real Housewives of OC, where she eats the bow off Heather DeBro's cake. Do you remember that?
No, I didn't see that. Was it drama?
Yeah.
I think I remember that drama. I always was doing that as a youth.
Oh, you were that.
I was always like a...
Oh, no. Faux pas.
Like a total... I know, and I really didn't understand what the big deal was until I got like...
Oldest child.
Told enough by my mom, like, you can't do that. Because I think I also tried to do it at other people's birthday parties.
It's like...
Just a secret...
You were the queen of your family.
Just a secret corner.
You can't...
You cannot do... Guys, apparently you can't do that.
No, turkey.
No, turkey.
Don't... We Get can't say this around Tony hands. Because he will...
He's
it.
Always trying to do that to me. But that was my classic move with the icing.
I never did that.
Well, you're a good kid. You're the second born.
I'm the second born.
I came in and I was like, look.
Yeah.
Just give me a little.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Mary's temple.
Why? Everything's wrapped in plastic.
I think because of COVID.
But like.
Yeah, what's going on?
You don't. That was never a precaution.
I was like, what's going to happen? Are they doing their first in-person service again? Like, is she going to, and then she sits down with a microphone. And I go, oh, it's going to be like
a live cast or something.
Like one of those.
A church Zoom meeting.
Fire chats that FDR did, where he would, every night would go on the radio and like talk to America.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like Zoom church.
But no, she's podding.
No, she has a podcast.
She goes, she's with two of her underlings. Acolytes,
yeah.
Who are these like two men, and they seem a little gay. One of them seems a little gay.
Yeah.
Flamboyant.
I feel like everyone's a little gay.
And Mary, so they start the podcast. It's like they're sitting in front of each other. They start the podcast, and then Mary goes, hello. She goes, hello, this is Mary's podcast.
She goes, hello, everyone. This is a podcast. And Talking Facts with Mary podcast. So we're going to get to some facts and now let's pray. And I was like, I've never heard a more awkward. I was like, maybe podcasting isn't your specialty.
Yeah.
But also go off.
I wrote, she's a regular Howard Stern.
Then she throws to Sean to lead them in prayer.
And it's intense.
And he does a very intense prayer that she stops him in the middle of, and she's like, I think this is a, let me take it from here.
Yeah.
Then she does like a more toned down but still very heartfelt prayer, and then she's like ready to move forward.
She just kind of launches into this whole thing, and she's like,
she's doming. I like that she never misses an opportunity to like dom her underlings.
Well, first she reveals that in COVID, Robert Sr. was living in their house in Florida. He got stuck there when COVID started, so he was there for 6 months.
And he was too scared to leave, so he was just like, I guess I'm going to stay here. But I bet she probably liked it that way.
It was just her and her son.
And she was like, my son wouldn't talk to me, so I was just wandering around my house talking to myself.
Oh, something, either the son is traumatized or he's just a brat.
Yeah, I feel like...
Because he just does not like her.
No. Someone's, I mean, he's also 18. I feel like you're a piece of shit when you're like 16, 17, 18.
She goes, I started talking to myself.
Just talking to her hats and her scarves and her boots.
Her mannequins.
Walking around talking to her mannequins. And that's when she realized, she was like, got a little weird just talking to myself all the time. And I guess I just needed to start a podcast.
Which I relate.
The talking to yourself to podcaster pipeline.
It's huge.
It's real.
Yeah, if you were a kid and talked to yourself as a kid, which I did.
My first memory as a child is talking to myself in the mirror.
Then you're probably going to be a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Or an actor.
What are all the certificates on the walls?
From God.
What are they for? There's so many certificates.
I have no idea.
It was a level of certificates that I'm like, you're trying to fool people with these certificates.
I think they just printed out things that, and then put them on the wall.
It was like, it's like best friendship ever with like Mary. People's names. Like Jesus's chosen lamb.
Mary Cosby. And it's all Mary Cosby. And at one point she goes, I just, I'm not from this world. She says that.
Mm-hmm.
She also goes, I don't trust human beings. So I go, alien.
Fair enough. Yeah. Alien vibes. She also turns to her co-host and she goes, have you ever done drugs? Which was like literally me podcasting.
And he goes, well, he's like, yeah, I have. I've smoked some weed. And Mary goes, oh yeah, me too. She goes, smoking tree. Is that what they used to call it? She goes, yeah, I've smoked a blunt. And I was like, Mary.
I love that.
It'd be fun to get high with Mary.
Yeah, it'd be so fun. I want to get high with Mary and watch a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch, just like, laugh together.
Step Brothers with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Or like
Half Baked.
But I love it. She goes, have you ever done drugs? And he just goes, yeah. At first I thought he was going to like say he had like a past. Or he's like, well, he says, he goes, I had a little bit of a past.
Yeah, well, I think she also knows that. Like, I thought that it was going to be like he had like serious drug past, but I think she knows that he might make others uncomfortable, especially them.
She put him on the spot.
She wants to put people on the spot. She lives to correct and then put you right on the spot.
But I love, she goes, we called it smoking tree.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mary's cool. She is.
But she's also a cult leader.
But also, it's like,
she's cool and she's not cool.
I think it's, for me, both pretty cool. She's making it work. It's against all odds. Like, it shouldn't be happening, yeah. But it is. And yeah. At this point, it's gone this far. Just let it keep going. There, I think, are bigger fish to fry than Mary's cult.
I want her to come on the pod.
Mary, please come to Salt Lake. Let's give her a free ticket to our Salt Lake
show. I messaged all these housewives, guys. We're being really radically transparent about Salt Lake.
I want everyone to lower their expectations so that they're pleasantly surprised. Because either the show is going to be a great show regardless, but it's just, you're going to be one of 34 people. And that's fine.
Yeah, intimate.
It's intimate. It's like inside the actor's studio.
Oh my God. That probably, I think that had like
that does have 400 a lot. People. That has a lot more. Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with purchase.
Then we cut over to the newest housewife, Jenny, who is a queen.
Love Jenny.
I love Jenny. I love her husband. I love her kids.
Her family is so cute. What's her daughter's name?
Carlin.
She's a genius.
A comedian.
Yeah.
A regular. She's in her 40s. She has the
humor.
She is
a 40-year-old woman. Like a confident 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, so Lisa and her are really close. So Lisa brings her sons over for a chiropractic adjustment because Jenny's husband is like a renowned chiropractor.
And Jenny and Lisa met when their sons were best friends, and then they met and like turned towards each other and bumped baby bumps. And that's how they became friends.
That's so cool.
That is really cool. And they've been friends for a long time.
Jenny's from Vietnam originally. She escaped Vietnam at one point in the 80s, in the early 80s, and got captured by Thai pirates, and then was transferred to a refugee camp, and then mission workers from Long Beach had them come to California. That's how she and her family came.
Sponsored their family, yeah. And then got them sent over.
A wild story.
Truly crazy.
And she's like talking about how poor she was to Lisa's sons to like do a little joke.
Show him a thing or two.
Yeah. Her husband is hot.
Dewey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They met because she was assisting on a photo shoot that his family was doing. And his sister was like, you should meet my brother.
She has this weird moment, though, where she's like, I don't like his face. Everything from the neck down is great, but he has like a bad face. But here we are. And I was like, love your radical honesty. But also, maybe he won't like that.
But I liked his face.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered one way or another.
I also have...
You have a real thing for chiropractors.
I do, and I follow this Russian chiropractor on TikTok who like crunches people on the beach, mm-hmm. and he's like this giant burly man, and he like takes you and rolls you back into his arms, and I want that.
And crunches your spine.
I just like hearing chiropractors talk about what they're doing. It's ASMR to me.
Yeah, I like them telling you how many ribs you have and about all your vertebrae. Jen has a family gathering for her son Rafi's birthday,
mm-hmm.
and her aunt Nani comes over. It's the aunt who got her legs amputated.
The one that smelled like hospital.
Mm-hmm. She goes, show me your bionic legs. Yeah. Lifts up her skirt.
Yeah, she looked like she's been through a rough...
Aunt Nani didn't seem pleased about her current sitch.
No.
And I can't say I blame her. Now, honestly, if I were Aunt Nani... I wouldn't want to walk into my niece's door and the first thing she says is, show me your metal legs. I would be like, get your fucking hands off my skirt and lead me down to the couch and then go make me a plate.
Yeah. Jen's mom is really cute.
Yeah, she's a cutie.
They're having like a birthday party for her son, Sharif Jr.
Yeah.
And... you know, Jen's kind of like, Sharif and I sort of are the glue that holds our family together. So when we were getting a divorce, it like set the family into a spiral.
I just felt bad for her whole family because they have no idea what's coming.
She didn't know how old her son was.
Yeah, I think Jen, I mean.
She's got a lot in her mind.
But this is, I think she's just a very toxic person. She's a
narcissist.
Yeah.
I
think it's Jen first and foremost, and then everyone else second. It's Jen, then Jen's aide assistants.
Stuart,
then the family.
Then her company, then maybe her sons, and then Sharif.
Yeah, I just am like, this is not a person.
That's her pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Mary and Heather meet in a geodesic dome.
I want to go.
It's snowing outside.
Dying to go there. I wish it would snow when we went to Salt Lake.
It might. No, it won't.
It won't.
But it looks, they're in like on the side of a mountain that's snowing outside, and they're in like a cozy dome where they're going to have lunch.
They're at a restaurant called The Boneyard.
Whitney and Meredith meet them.
Heather takes the wheel and orders a feast for everyone.
Yeah.
My vibe.
But I'm glad Mary's filming with them.
Yeah. It was important. It's also just shocking, I think, because wasn't this filmed like in 2018, a lot of it, and then shelved and then trotted mm-hmm. out because of COVID? Best decision Bravo's ever made to release this show. And now we get the merging of Mary with the other women.
Well, it just shows we need other cities.
Yeah.
I want Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago has to happen.
I want Austin.
I want Oklahoma City. Not Sweet Home Oklahoma. I want Real Housewives of Oklahoma City. I'm telling you, you could find such good ones.
Yeah.
Like, I could fucking help you find people. Bravo.
And I want Housewives of, like, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. That would be major. I want Philadelphia.
They won't. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because they were going to do Philadelphia, and Grace Kelly's niece is like the grand dame of the main line.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Grace Kelly's from. And they approached her and she said, absolutely not. So none of the housewives wanted to be on it.
Really?
Because she
influenced them all.
Yeah. She put the kibosh on it.
But I'm sure there are some like detractors that would gladly do it.
I don't know. They should. They were going to do it.
I want like Real Housewives of Alabama or something.
I want, they're going to do Miami again.
They're doing Miami.
I think a lesbian.
With Larsa Pippen, right?
Oh.
She's going to be on it. Mm. And I think she's kind of a mess.
She's a flop.
I want Mary to bless my taco salad. Mm-hmm. I want a taco salad in a big taco shell bowl.
They pray.
And I want Mary to lead us in prayer. And then I would like to eat with her.
Yeah.
Mary, if you're listening, let's all go to Walters together.
I was shook when I saw them all bow their heads to pray in a geodesic dome on the side of a mountain during a pandemic.
I think I used to have, well, I did used to have such a chip on my shoulder about like religion and religious people. But now I actually am like really welcome a moment to pray. Like if someone says like they want to pray before a meal and that's what they want to do, I'm like, hell yeah, like pray it up. Yeah, you have any more prayers? Like, let's pray over here. Like nice. I'm down with that.
Let's pray before our show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably not initiating prayer, but like if someone feels like they want that, then I'm more than happy for them to initiate. And
didn't we do a serenity prayer before our LA show last year? I think we did.
Did we?
I think I led us in a serenity prayer.
Love that.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. I think praying and like religion is a cool thing.
I'm into the mix of religions on this show.
Me too.
I think it's cool how seamlessly, like Jenny's big Catholic. There's Islam. There's Mormon. Judaism. Like, I think it's...
Yeah, Christian. Like super Christian, evangelical Christian. It's a really good mixture. Yeah. Everyone should have something to believe in.
Mm-hmm. Meredith reveals that her father died, and she delivers the news in a very, like, Meredith way.
Yeah.
My father died.
She's very sad.
Yeah.
But I guess he had, like, long-time dementia, and... Mm-hmm. The consensus is that he's in a better place, but it still has been really difficult for her.
We cut back to the reunion when Heather reveals that her dad died, and then Mary, out of nowhere, just goes, "Mine too." I was like, remember that? That was shocking.
Yeah, that was shocking.
Heather's talks about how Jen is like all now on social media calling her racist again.
Yeah, she says she hasn't talked to Lisa or Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen, yeah, is saying everywhere that Heather's racist.
Then Meredith is like, I'm very against Jen right now because she's been amplifying tweets that she says are homophobic against Brooks.
People calling him a twink.
Privileged twink. She goes, she says twink is a slur, which has been a discourse before on Twitter. And
oh, yeah, people are really mad about that.
I'm like,
get over it.
A twink is a twink.
Yeah.
And then she reveals that Brooks has never actually disclosed his sexuality, even to her.
Oh, really? I thought she just meant that he hasn't spoken publicly about it.
No. She said I don't really even know what his preference is.
He's gay. He's gay, though. And that's great.
Say what?
He is, I think Brooks is
gay.
But he's only 21, and guess what?
Yeah, maybe
even we realized like we went a little too hard on Brooks last season.
He doesn't deserve a grown adult picking on him.
No, a woman like in her 40s
who's like committing fraud.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be picked on at all. Like it's fine. He's like a truly young person. Like if anyone. Like, show me one 21-year-old that's killing it and not just a total embarrassment. They're few and far between.
Tana Moreau. Whatever.
Tana?
Tana. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Dixie D'Amelio.
Charli D'Amelio's sister.
Wait, I'm sorry, but...
Who was anyone at the VMAs? I looked at The Arrivals, and I literally was like, who is this person?
I just couldn't believe how
no one has vowels.
Bad everyone looked. And I was like, this is the low, like, this is Dante's Inferno.
And I need to say it now. I need a complete moratorium on Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox's relationship. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't want to see them. They're hot, but like, I don't care.
Oh, I care.
Oh, I don't want to know. I'm so tired that we're living in a Megan Fox, Machine Gun Kelly America, where they're suddenly like the most famous couple in the world.
That's an America I am proud to live in. If that makes you an American citizen, then count me the fuck out. My flag.
I'm going to be on my deathbed.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I'm going
to
be on my deathbed saying, please stop about them. Like the nun with Katy Perry.
I can't take any more Katy Perry.
Wait, but I just wanted to say one more thing. I roll my eyes at being like twink is a slur, but I understand what Meredith is saying because some people, straight people, if they don't like a gay person, they'll take the opportunity, and these are people that like would probably consider themselves liberal. They'll take an opportunity to make a dig about them and use an excuse to be homophobic without actually saying it. Do you know what I mean? And there's a lot of like Bravo, like I've seen a trend of like people being like, oh, he's just a privileged twink. But it's like, no, you can't really say that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think if you're using it as like a put down and something to like put someone in their place.
Yeah.
Then you have to take a step back because it kind of is the same thing as calling them the F slur.
Well, it's also like, okay, so like whenever fucking Lindsey Graham is in the news, Lady G starts trending on Twitter, mm-hmm. which is what like allegedly his name that he used for like his male escorts.
Okay.
But you see like Deborah Messing and all these like liberal, like never Trumpers who are really annoying. Using it as an excuse to say homophobic shit about
or like make fun of him for doing gay stuff.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you're kind of showing yourself a little. So like I'm just saying, I know what Meredith is kind of saying, even though I think it's like funny to say twink is a slur. I know what she's saying. And no, Jen is
if I were Meredith and someone was coming for my gay son,
death,
I would kill you myself. Yeah.
I think Jen is being kind of homophobic.
Jen's a psychotic person.
Yeah.
She's mentally unwell and
she's a bully.
A bully and a deflector and a take no responsibility ass bitch. And I was having flashbacks of the amazing Vegas psychic. When Jen was just sitting on the couch and everyone was basically like, we hate you to her.
And then someone said, who doesn't trust Heather? And then Jen went.
And I was like, that was beautiful. Beautiful moment. Heather also said something that was really relatable at this lunch where she's like talking about her relationship with Jen. She's like, she just gasses me up and like fills me up with this friendship juice. And like I get like addicted to it or whatever. And I was like, wow, yeah. Like I feel like
they cut to Mary and Mary goes, I don't want any of her juice.
Just juice. I don't want Jen's juice.
Heather needs Al-Anon.
Yeah.
I've said this before. Honey, go into your there's a directory.
Google it.
Google it,
bitch.
And then they kind of asked Meredith, like, well, does it make you uncomfortable that Lise has gotten so close to her? And she's like, yeah, it does, but I can't really, like, tell her to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then
you just have to accept sometimes that that's the, like, some people are going to be friends with people you aren't friends with, and that's just, like, the way it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, in this situation, it obviously we know kind of how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point right now, it's just like they have a bond and
yeah.
What are you going to do?
And then at one point, Whitney goes, how would Lisa feel?
Whitney is like, I imagine her inner monologue on this like whole lunch being like, you must come up with a question. And what question will I ask? When is a good time to ask such an important question? And maybe now. Okay, no, not yet.
And then she goes,
Should I live in a geodesic dome? Should I live in one of... What would it be like to sleep in this at night? Could I rent one out for me and my husband?
We could have sex in here, but then would people see us? Because it is clear in the walls.
The stars.
Maybe, can you put curtains?
Could I ask for a drape?
And she, so she's having, and then Mary's inner monologue is, she's still on the juice.
Mary's shook by the juice. She can't come to terms. Mary, because also Mary's the person that they drink her juice.
Mm-hmm.
She juices all those around her. So she doesn't need anyone else's juice.
Mm-mm. She's going to bring that up again at some point.
Yeah.
She's going to use it as an insult.
Your juice. What? Juice.
Yeah. I just, and also I was remembering when Jen on the first episode, she's like, you told my aunt, you said my aunt smelled like housewarming. And Mary goes, yes, I did.
It might be time to revisit the first episode because
it's seminal.
It's seminal and it really cemented so many things. And mm-hmm. then to see like Nani now was especially sobering.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut over to the Marx's house and they're having Shabbat Friday night dinner.
Yeah, and they're having the Barlows over.
Lisa was Jewish. She converted to Mormon.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Meredith, and I was like, what? Yeah, no. So, yeah, I forgot that Lisa was Jewish.
The Marxes are, like, kind of, they're not really practicing, but I guess they're, like, culturally Jewish.
I love that.
And they'll do, like, a Shabbat, and they're doing a special one for her dad.
Someone invite me over to Shabbat dinner.
I've always wanted to go to Shabbat.
I really... My old boss in Chicago, when I was living there in school, was Jewish, and she would have me over for like Rosh Hashanah or like high holidays. And I just really, I love those traditions.
It's beautiful.
I yearn to be welcomed into the Jewish community with a challah bread.
I'm sure you're already welcomed.
No, but I mean like physically welcomed into someone's home to sit at their table and eat their delicious food.
Brooks goes, how do you braid the challah bread?
Brooks is looking great.
He's wearing a green cap.
It's his green cap and a turtleneck.
His sister's there with her boyfriend.
I love him. Like, him and Chloe just would have been to have, like, a gay brother that you can be, like, side-eyeing with
mm-hmm.
is essential.
Remember when they were like, we're going to go to Best Buy?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I was thinking about that when I saw this scene about you loving them going to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. My sister and I did that one night during a family tragedy.
Sometimes you just have to take to Best Buy.
We went to like drove around a parking lot in Best Buy.
Yeah. The Barlows arrive.
Oh my God, it looks amazing in here.
Flawless.
They look perfect.
Yeah. Lisa is like wearing vinyl pants.
Her son is cute. Her older one, like he's
all really cute.
He's like, I think he's like a nice boy. I was thinking he was kind of a brat last year, but now I feel like he's like growing up a little.
Yeah, and I think I like to see how polite all the kids are, even if it's like they're just acting that way on camera. Mm-hmm. I'm very charmed by their manners. I hope I one day maybe have polite sons.
Brooks hugs the younger Barlow, and the way he hugs, I love. He goes like this. He puts his hand up. Hey.
Hey.
How are you? Iconic.
This family gathering also made me yearn for Utah. I was like, I cannot wait to be there.
It's a pretty state.
It's gorgeous.
It's Gorgina.
I want snow on the ground, coziness, and a delicious Shabbat dinner. And like just hanging in someone's like cozy mansion.
I last this winter, right after the insurrection, like a week, we drove to Aspen
mm-hmm.
and we drove through Utah and we were driving through it at sunset and it was like pink rock with snow everywhere.
It's so beautiful.
Pink sky. And I just was like, I went.
I'm a mountain girl at heart. Little Utah.
Mm. Either that or
we'll
North
go see.
Jersey.
Huh? Yeah. Either Utah or North Jersey. Maybe I can just start moving.
There's mountains
east.
In North Jersey.
Yeah. I got it. Okay. I'm going to work on this.
Gotta get out of here.
It was great to see Meredith and Lisa back together.
But there's tension.
I know, but their friendship is really important to me. Like, I can't take them not being friends, so I'm going to need them to both move through this. And for Lisa to denounce Jen Shaw and go back into the arms of her one true love, Meredith Marks.
She goes, Lisa starts talking about Heather. Lisa goes, well, you know, she's responsible for so many of my character assassinations.
And she likens her and Heather's relationship to Meredith and Jen's relationship. But Meredith has like a big problem with that because she's like, Heather's saying that you're a liar is not the same as someone making fun and like bullying your son.
But I was also like, I don't think that's that fair to say, because it's like, that's what Lisa, it really hurt Lisa to be called a liar and like to have her integrity questioned. So it's like, they can be similarly hurtful in different ways. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was a little like, Meredith, like, don't, Meredith was sort of trying to be like, no, I'm more of a victim than you. Kind of.
Yeah, I think that they need to both just walk away from Heather and Jen and then just like be friends with each other. Like, I think like take the other ladies out of it. Their friendship is the most important.
Meredith is starting to raise her voice. They're sitting down in like the living room away from everyone. The kids are in the kitchen picking at the challah bread. And then John and Seth are having like a gorgeous like friend moment, mm-hmm. where they're just like, John goes, is that the river out there in the darkness? And Seth goes, yeah, it's amazing.
He goes, yeah, that all that dark you see, that's where the river comes in just during the day. It's just beautiful. And they're like, just men on a deck.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Men on a snowy deck.
Men on a snowy deck, admiring where the river is. And Lisa wants Jen to apologize to Meredith and keeps asking, like, would you be open to that? Would you be open to an apology? And Meredith basically is like, I will not fight her, nor will I debate her on this. Like, I'm not open. It's not open to a conversation. Like,
she's disengaged from the conversation. Like, yeah. She's done.
I have not done anything to Jennifer Shaw.
She just, and it's, and like, at certain points you see Brooks like looking over, like the kids are.
They're aware that mommies are fighting.
Yeah. But it's like a friend. It's not really a fight. It's like friends having
an intense conversation amongst friends.
And then they get up and they go for the Shabbat blessing. And they make Chloe lead it. And then you see Lisa sort of clearly probably knows the blessing, but they're all just, her family's zip-lipped.
I thought like maybe Lisa would even just be like
mouthing.
Yeah, mouthing just a teeny bit. Nope. Even one word, just being like.
Bur-a-gada. Yeah.
But Bur-a-gada then. No. Not a full blown refusal.
Her sons were like looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they praise Meredith's father and dedicate the meal to him. And I just wanted to get in there and.
Give me some of that challah.
I'll pray with you.
Yeah.
Let me pray.
It just looked cozy and nice, like two nice families gathering.
I mean, it's a nice concept. It's like Friday night, no phones allowed.
Mm-hmm. And you just like have a delicious meal amongst friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
We should all just be doing that anyways.
I would have a Sprite.
I would have a glass of wine with the ladies.
Wow.
I would raise my glass.
Your Manischewitz.
To Meredith's. Deceased father, may he rest in peace. He's in a better place now.
May his memory be a blessing.
And then I'd say, Meredith and Lisa, it's so good to see you guys together.
You would go, Meredith and Lisa,
you guys are really important to me.
Cut the shit. Just be friends.
Just be friends.
Just stop being friends with the people that
you don't need them, but you do need each other.
They do.
They do. 10 years.
10 years.
And they're also twins.
Yeah, they are truly.
They are one and the same. They are
Terrence and Phillip.
Fully Terrence and Phillip. And if we don't if they can't make it, then okay. I will lose hope. So I need my life and livelihood depends on them being friends forever.
We're so invested in romantic celebrity relationships when we need to be.
I'm invested in friendship.
Friendships.
Yeah.
Like the one friendship I'm not invested in, Julian Huff and Nina Dobrev.
No.
I don't give a shit about them. I see them on that billboard on Sunset for their like wine company and I'm just like,
I don't know anything about what you just said.
They have, they're best friends apparently, and they have, wait, really, before we close out this episode, we'll talk about it more maybe tomorrow, but that new reality show called The Activist.
Oh yeah.
Featuring Julian Huff.
A classic Huff move. I don't understand
Notable activist Julian Huff.
Yeah, I don't understand how this show came to be. Like how, in moments like this, I wonder about the chain of command and you knowing all the steps it takes before even something gets announced. Yeah. Like all the deals have been made. Like this has probably been talked about for a year.
Yeah.
And how not one single person was like, this doesn't feel like that great of an idea. Like,
nope.
Maybe table this and, let's just like start a foundation and CBS's name, or we can just give money. Like this have probably 100 people had to weigh in on this at one point.
Oh,
or
it's
another.
CBS.
Yeah.
Oh,
which is also like classic CBS.
Classic CBS.
Damn. One network that has never made a show that I've liked. I'm sorry. Like find me one CBS show that's actually good. They're killing it, but not in my household.
Not in this house.
Not in this house. We don't watch CBS. Sorry. And I've tried with some of the stuff. They can't get me. But they might get me with this if it's like true cringe watch.
Maybe we should recap it. No, I can't even give it credence because it's so offensive.
I could maybe watch it if it truly provides like the...
It's giving.
If it's giving. But you know what shows seemingly... could give, which I, and even if it's not, I think it's an incredible idea.
What?
Is that like Avatar with the Grimes? Like,
oh,
there's like some billboard that I drive past all the time where it's like,
Grimes is a judge,
yeah, where it's like a singing competition a la American Idol, but instead of you, you're just like a CGI character and you like create your own CGI character. I think that's like. Next level, but I don't think that it's going to be next level on network television. I think it needs to be like on Netflix or somewhere that can really go like to weird. A place of just like crazed, like giving cunt energy. You know what I mean?
I can't believe Grimes is like a major celeb.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you get with a billionaire, I guess. Mm. Like a famous bill.
Annoying billionaire.
I mean, I don't think I could bring myself to hop on that D, but...
To Fook.
He's not the billionaire I would choose. I'd probably go Bezos.
Oh, no!
Bald Daddy Bezos.
Oh, my God. Well, guys, let us know your thoughts on this inaugural episode of Season 2. We're so excited to be back on this ride with you. We're going to be recapping it.
LA, we're
LA,
gonna be
baby.
Recapping it our LA show.
Yeah, guys, if you're in LA, we're gonna be recapping the episode 2 of Salt Lake City at
live
at the Roxy
next
Tuesday, the September 21st. Get into it.
Get your tics now.
What was that? You were like,
I was just trying to remember what day of the week it is.
Yeah, this next episode will be like maybe it'll come out like a day later, but we're going to be
come out on Wednesday.
We're going to be recapping it on
live at the Roxy.
Get into it. Guys, come see it. It's going to be so good.
You won't want to miss it.
You can follow Laura at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
Follow Jen Shaw at
Prison.
LuLaRue.
Order your LuLaRoe.
Oh, yeah. Let us know your LuLaRoe stories, if any. And
yeah, I'm sorry if you've ever bought LuLaRoe. We offended you by saying how ugly it was. But I think
ugly.
If you bought it, you know.
Yeah. And don't commit fraud.
Yeah. Bye.